Okay, Erev Tov, good evening everybody. If you look back over this year, over the last 10 years or so, around this time of year, 9th of November, is Memorial of Kristallnacht that probably will go down in history as they use the word pogrom, but I don't think that's enough. It was a devastating attack. It probably meant the end of the German Jewish community, as it was in terms of shuls and institutions. 30,000 Jews were arrested. The Rav of Cologne, who eventually ended up in London, Rav Dunner, was also arrested then. He spoke about that very often. And I tell the story very poignant for me, because he was my neighbor, somebody called Felix Wolkenfeld. And I've mentioned him a number of times, Zichron Livrocha. In fact, his wife just died about a year ago, Judith. She was also very interesting for a different reason. She worked for Princess Diana. She was a dress designer. And she had a lot of good stories about Diana. I mentioned it once that Diana bought her kosher cookies in Harrods. There was a whole story about that because she was working for her. But Felix, the story is that he was always called up, her chover. And as Sydney will tell you, chover is like the greatest honor you can get in the German community. And he was called a chov at 16. Now, nobody gets the honor at 16. It just doesn't come like that. Maybe if you're 60 or 70, but 16. And we never knew. He always said, you know, we asked him, when did you become a chov? And he said, when he was very young. And then after he died, the story came out that on Kristallnacht, his shul was burning down along with 1,400 other shuls in Austria and in Germany. It was an unbelievable one night. It just defies imagination. And Felix just couldn't stand it. He was 16 years old, saw his shul burning down. The Nazis were guarding the front door of the shul and wouldn't let anybody in, but he knew there was a back entrance. So as the shul was burning down, he ran in through the back and took out the Sifrei Torah. Two Sifrei Torah, he managed to save. And those Sifrei Torah are still being used in London to this very day. It's a very poignant sort of thing that not only did he save them, but they continue to be used. And again, it's... you know, continuing the Masorah, continuing the traditions as much as one can. So in his memory, I dedicate the Shir to memory of so many others who were killed on this the commemoration of this terrible event. It's one of those things today that we have to be, I think, thinking about. I saw somebody wrote this today, that the language that was used against the Jewish community up to Kristallnacht from 1933, probably from a bit earlier, has got echoes of what we're hearing today. It's becoming acceptable to be anti-Semitic in public again. And that's how it started. And we've got to be maybe a bit more, aware of this in our world that we live in today, certainly to not to stand for it, to complain when we can, bring it to the attention of the authorities. If somebody stands up and says something which is particularly anti, and again, some say anti-Israel, not anti-Jewish, but it boils down to the same thing. I don't think we have to kid ourselves that, or we should kid ourselves that one is distinct from the other. Just to be a bit more sensitive to this in our world, because it's happening again. And God forbid, if we get used to this rhetoric and the world around us gets used to the rhetoric, then, chas v'shalom, who knows where this can lead. We know where it can lead. We saw it once before, and God forbid we should ever see anything like that ever again. So I think it's a serious time to think about these things on this occasion. We're looking at chapter 5 of Sefer Ezra, and again, in contrast to the destruction that I've just been talking about, chapter 5 and chapter 6, both of which hopefully we'll get through this evening, give us a tremendous amount of excitement. This is where the turnaround comes about. And one of the questions I haven't really got an answer for is the almost naivete of the people in and around the leadership in Persia, who don't seem to understand that Darius is, by definition, a Jewish boy. His mother is Esther, Queen Esther. The father is Ahasuerus. So he's now the king. And they expect Darius to toe the line in terms of not allowing the Jews to start building the Beit HaMikdash. Remember, they started, they were stopped. That's what we got to last week. And it's going to start up all over again. And the people who are against the program what they call the Tsarei Yisrael, the enemies of Israel, they go to Darius, who's now the new king, and they say, King Darius, please stop the program. Not please, you must stop the program. Because the Jews who gave them permission to do it. And again, there seems to be, his answer to them comes, I think, as a bit of a shock to them, because he is very much for the building program. But more to the point, they don't seem to understand, you know, his background. And again, this is a question. Did Esther conduct herself after the story of the Megillah, when she carried on staying with Ahasuerus, as they would ask the obvious question, did she light Shabbos candles? All right, now again, if I'm teaching in Beis Yaakov in ninth grade, I'm going to have to say, yes, she did light Shabbos candles. But as I'm now teaching maybe a bit beyond that, I'm going to have to ask a question. I'm not sure what the answer is. Did she light Shabbos candles in the palace? I hope she did. I don't know. Discreet. I don't know. Sorry?
Discreetly.
Maybe discreetly. You know, we're like the in Spain, you know, maybe in the cellar. I mean, who knows? We're not really given that information. But we did see the connection last week already between the people here and the fact that Esther is part of this particular equation. Mordechai doesn't feature. We had him at the beginning of the Sefer, and that's it. But again, you have, I get the impression Uncle Mordechai may have also had a bit of a bit of an influence here as well. But it's not mentioned in any direct way. But you know, we'll see from the language of Darius what exactly he's going to say. What is interesting, the beginning of chapter 5, is that the rebuilding of the temple has been stopped for 18 years. They started and then they were forcibly stopped. It stayed a building site for 18 years. And now, on the basis of Nevuah, on the basis of prophecy from two prophets who are right at the end of the period of prophecy, this is going to be something we're going to talk about when we get to the character of Ezra, Mirz Hashem, even next week, I hope, chapter 7, when we'll be introduced to him. Ezra marks a watershed. It's the watershed from the moment when prophecy ends and essentially what we would call Ruach HaKodesh, or and other people talk about Torah Shebal Peh, the idea that the development of oral law begins. Okay, till the end of the prophets, you could ask the prophet, what's the halacha? He would sort of go into a trance or maybe get the answer from God. And once upon a time we had the Urim V'Tumim, you could have a direct line. That's all going to disappear. That's all going to go. And we're going to deal here, chapter 5, with the end of the period of prophets, two prophets, Zechariah and Haggai, both of whom are telling the Jews to, in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim, to continue or to start up again, finish the house of Hashem, finish the temple. Don't worry that you're not going to get permission initially to do it, because that, in the end, will be sorted. That will be dealt with. Right? So this is what's happening over here in chapter 5. Yeah.
Let me ask a question about Darius.
Yeah.
Do you know what the procedure for accession to the throne was? Did the previous king have to be murdered? Killed? Was it a pleasant?
It depends.
And
yeah.
How did Darius in particular become king?
Yeah, and that's, again, your son of, I mean, it's dynastic, one assumes, but what happens to the previous guy? We know some cases, Belshazzar, for instance, died on the night with the whole story with the writing on the wall. That night he died. Was he murdered? Was he assassinated? I don't remember that, but I think he was. A lot of them were done away with like that.
This would speak to why people would not assume that Darius would be for these nebulous upstart.
Jews who are a long way away.
Invested by killing.
Yeah. So it may be that he took over by killing. I don't know. We'll have to look. We'd have to check that out. I don't know. It's a Wikipedia question, I feel. And maybe worth looking at. I just don't know. That's a good question. All right, have a look at chapter 5. We're going to just get through this again. I've got my teeth sort of lined up to pronounce the words a little bit as best we can, and we'll try. Perek He. V'hid Nabi Chagai Neviah. We're still in Aramaic because it's still recording in the vernacular the events which lead up to the building program being started again. So Chagai, Zechariah bar Ido, two prophets, Haggai and Zechariah, Neviah, they were prophets, Al Yudoi Dibihud Rushalem. They were prophets for the Jews in Jerusalem, Bashum Elah Yisrael Alen, in the name of the God of Israel. And Rashi points out where the prophecy is to be found, in the first chapter of the book of Haggai, and I think also in the first chapter of the book of Zechariah. If you look at the Rashi, he'll tell you exactly where it is. I think one is, he brings it a bit, Haggai chapter 1, verse 1, if you want to see it there. It talks about the second year of Darius. And Zechariah is also at the beginning of the book of Zechariah. They both refer to this event of the prophecy establishing the Beit HaMikdash, the second temple, both of whom are referring to the second year of Darius, as is the book of Ezra. Okay, so this is what's going on, yeah.
At this point then, there must have been some Jewish presence in
Jerusalem. Absolutely, this is that they've already got the 40,000 Jews there. And they sat and they waited, right?
18 years.
For 18 years, they did nothing. They started the project. Okay, this is kind of, you know, sometimes you see this in Israel today. You see, you know, a project and then it sits for years and years. And you see it in New York City as well. You know, we're dealing with builders here, right? You know, but this is not about that. Hopefully not about real estate developers, because that would be a very sad comment. But it's a true comment. Yeah, the people, last week we said that there was a group of people who were against the whole project. And they forcibly, with weapons, one assumes, they came and said, you're not going to continue this. As you see today, you told us the story, you go anywhere near the Harabite today, they'll come at you with verbally, and if not more than that. There's a film on YouTube last week of a Christian lady trying to go onto the Harabite. And she says, I'm Christian, I believe in Jesus, and I'm not Jewish. And you're handing me out of here because I'm Christian? And the Waqf, you know, the Arab control over there is, as far as I'm concerned, if they're out of control. They are now so hyper about the whole thing. I just don't know. I don't know what one can say about that. Because there's got to be a balance. There's got to be what they call in Ivrit status quo. Right? There's got to be that level of give and take. And there's no give and take with those guys. It's actually all about taking and absolutely no giving whatsoever. And it's a bit worrying, you know, how crazy this whole situation has become, let alone what it will become. We just pray. We have to be mispala. I think there's something here which needs rectifying very soon. Let's hope. Base. Let's see what happened. Pasuk 2. Ba'dayim komaz Zerubbabel, Bar Shaltiel, Yeshua. These are the leaders, remember, of the community. Zerubbabel and Yeshua, Bar Yotzadak, Versariv, Lemivneh. And what did they do? And again, Shariv, excuse me, Lemivneh. If you look here in the Rashi, he gives you all the various translations. I'll just, we'll basically sort of paraphrase what Rashi is saying. Shariv Lemivneh, Shari is the Aramaic for to be allowed. Shariv Lemivneh, they're being allowed to build Beit Elod Yerushalayim, the temple in Jerusalem, Imhon, Nevi'ayah, Di'alon, Masadilon, and the other prophets who assist him don't even know who the other prophets are, which again is very interesting. So clearly now there is a tremendous sense of spiritual elevation amongst the Jewish community in Yerushalayim to get the project finished. The other question I had, which I haven't got an answer for, is when you learn the book of Yechezkel, you'll see that he gives measurements of the Beit HaMikdash. And a lot of people say he's talking about the third Beit HaMikdash, right? But Yechezkel is being announced before this, chronologically. Yechezkel came at the time of the Galut. He went into Babylon. So the question is that even though we're seeing here the rebuilding, it doesn't seem to reflect anything of Yechezkel's visions of the third temple, right? Which again is strange. Was it? You know, it's probably a simple answer that people didn't know about what Yechezkel had said. All right, it wasn't public knowledge till much, much later. That's what I would assume. But you understand what I'm saying here? Why doesn't the prophecy of Yechezkel get reflected in this particular discussion? And I don't know, right? So there's two things which I'm actually not very clear about. Yeah. No, but he's talking, but everybody says when he's prophesying, the end of the Sefer Yechezkel is about...
It's not supposed to be Yechezkel what he's talking about.
Well, that's the point, but that's the interpretation of it. Yeah, but the point is there's no reflection of it here when they're building the second temple, certainly in terms of measurements and because Yechezkel is very controversial. There's a lot of halachas that he talks about the third temple in terms of what the Kohanim are doing, etc., which is not necessarily found in Torah law. There is a development there, and there's without going into the whole subject, it's a very big problem in the Sefer Yechezkel to explain much of the detail. Yeah.
This temple was never meant to be the ultimate temple.
No, that's true.
We got permission to bring Karbanos, so let's build a Mizbeach, etc.
Right.
Yechezkel's vision was what to do after galus in terms of the ultimate gaula. That's why we call it the third.
And that's why it's the third, yeah, and that's a very different project. Yeah, yeah. It's just interesting. I mean, as I said, you know, it was, and if you go by chronology, that Nevuah is already established, or at least seemingly. I don't know. I'm just not, you know, sort of been able to get my hand on any anyone who refers to it. Actually, there is a bit of a reference in the Da'at Mikra, but not really that clear to me what he was trying to say.
Until the time of the Chazal, they did not. Until the time of the Genesis Hagadol,
they didn't really.
24 books in the canon.
Yeah.
They had many different other
books. Correct. They may not have been canonized. That's another issue. So they may not have been public knowledge. That I think probably is the way to deal with it. Anyway, I'm just throwing it out there because these are interesting thoughts. Gimel. So what's happening here? Bei Zimna Ta Aleon, and of course, and they start building. So who turns up at that moment? Tatnai Pachad Avar Nahar, the same guy we read about a few weeks ago. This guy Tatnai, Shatar, Boznai, Kuvanosa, and all of their group. Guy called Shatar, Boznai, and Tatnai, and all these Persian gentlemen or whoever they were in Yerushalayim. V'chein Amrin Lahom, they said to the people, Ma aman sam lachom ta'aim. Who's given you permission? Ta'aim, ta'am, a reason. Who's given you permission? Beta denol lebnei, to build the house. V'usharna denol l'shachle, and to start building the walls. Now the walls is something we haven't really spoken about, and it's going to be a big issue in the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah is famous for building the walls of Jerusalem. Right? So again, you know, when you sort of go and see the walls and do that wonderful tour, when they explain to you all the different levels, we can see all the, you know, Salahuddin, and then you go a bit higher than that. But go right down to the base, and you're dealing with essentially what we're learning here, the project of rebuilding the walls. So again, the question was from the people who were making trouble, who's giving you permission to start up again? Dalit, Adayin Kanama Amarna Lahom. And it says that they're saying that, as we said to you, Man in and Shmad Gurai, they wanted to know the names. Obviously, they want to report them to the Persian authorities. Di Dana Binyonat Benayin. Who are building this building? The Ein Elohim Havat Al Save Yudoy. Interesting. Now, this is, again, not in the words of the enemy, but this is maybe the words of the author of the Sefer. One has to assume it's Ezra who's writing the book. This is what I understand, but maybe not. Might be a bit later. Might be the men of the Great Assembly, Anshei Knesset Gedolah, writing this Sefer. And they are saying that the God, their God, meaning the God of Israel, was watching the elders of Judah. In other words, the leaders of the Jewish community, v'lo batilu himo, they did not stop the project. In other words, they were now under scrutiny. Were they going to back down because of the pressure coming again? Or were they going to continue building? And it says they continued. Ad tamal dayovesh yahat, until the matter came to Darius, v'adayin yisivun nishtavona al dana, and they actually sent a letter to Darius to try and find out what does he say, because he is now the king of Persia, Dariovish. Who is Darius? We mentioned last week, the son of Ahasuerush on the one side, and Esther Hamalka on the other side. So, as I said at the beginning, this is my question, that didn't these people who were writing to Darius have any inkling of his Jewish connections? You know, you wonder about that. I mean, we know about it, and I think this explains to us what he's going to say, but I wonder about them. Were they so naive? They didn't consider him connected. Yeah?
One more time. The first phrase, that God...
Yeah,
it's over them, and therefore, because they had the Siyat HaShemaya, they didn't have to stop?
Yeah, it seems to be something to that effect, that they were now, it's an Nisoyan, it was a test for these guys.
Wait,
who began the building project all over again.
God is watching, and therefore they don't have to stop.
Well, no, that God is watching to see what they're going to do.
What they're going to do.
Right. Are they going to stop or are they not going to stop? And at this point, they're not going to stop because they were told by the Nevi'im, you go ahead and do it. Now again, that would be the equivalent today of us going on the Harabayah and saying to the Wakuf, you know, get out of here. And you imagine what that would lead to. I mean, God only knows. It's really kind of scary. But in the second bite, they seem to be able to do this. So obviously the pressures were very different. Yeah?
I don't see that the problem. We do live in a very assimilating time.
Yeah.
Have a lot of Jews who are born of a Jewish mother in government places and leadership.
Oh, yeah.
They may have only accepted as a Jew somebody who was born of a Jewish mother, who was part of the Jewish community.
Correct.
But somebody who became the leader in Persia, who person is removed, even though he's a good Jewish prophet.
Yeah, yeah, and but we're talking about Esther Mordechai, you know, we're talking about our Purim heroes. So,
but still, Esther may have been the savior, but not her son.
But not Daryovish, yeah. Yeah, you wonder who his Rebbe was, right? You wonder what he studied in Cheder. I mean, I just don't know. It's fascinating when you think about it. And I will still argue that his response, because of who he is, makes to us perfect sense, right? And as I said, the question is about their naivety, not about us. Because he supports the whole project. Look what happens here. But these are words from the Megillah, right? Parshegen igarto di shalach tatnai pachat avar nahar. So this is the text of the letter which Tatnai sent Ushtar, Boznai, Knovse, all of his chevra, all these impossible words are Par, Sechoye, Diba, Vanahar, all the different groups. This is the name of a group of people from a certain country called a Par, Secha, wherever that is. They were over the river. Al Dayovish Malka, they sent a letter to Darius. Pitgoma, Shalachu Aloy, they sent this letter to him. Kidana, Ketib, Begaveh, and this is what it says. The Daryovish Malka to Darius the king, Shlama Kula, all peace. In other words, Shalom Lekulam or Kol Shalom. Basically, there should be peace for everybody. A nice way to begin the letters, we would say in English, Dear King Darius. Now, what are they going to say? Hey, Chet, excuse me, Posuk Chet. Yedia Lehevet Lamalka. It's known to the king. Diazana Yehud. And of course, the way they're talking is if, you know, it's them, and then there's us, and Darius is part of us and not part of them. It's very, again, the way the language that they express themselves. They just don't see him as part of any connection to the Jewish world. And that again, is just an interesting thing. Because the way they write the letter, they say, you know that there were those Jews, that they went, Yehud Medinta, they went to the Medina, to the country, Lebeit Elo Rabbah, to build this house to their God. The whom it b'nei Evin Galal is being built with the marble. Okay, so it's a pretty substantial structure. V'or mitsham b'kutlai, and they're using wood in the walls. V'avidata doch asparna mitavdo maslach b'yedham, and they're doing, as he put it here, it's being done very quickly. And matslach b'yedham, they're very matzliach, they're succeeding, the building is going up quickly.
Marble and wood, as opposed to mud.
Definitely higher level, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. And this is a serious building. Tet adayin she'elna l'savaya ilein, and it's fascinating, right? We're asking the elders, kaneima amarna, and this is what we said to them: man sam lechom taim. Who gave you permission? Beta dana l'mivne, to build the house. Vushana dana l'shachlein, to improve the walls. Who has given you permission to do this? Because it seems after 18 years they picked up and started building again. And they don't seem to have any, as you would say in Fairlawn, any permits, right? Where are the permits? That's what they want to see. Permits, very painful subject. Yud. Va'af Shmohat, oh, this is impossible. Shmohat Hom Sha'en Alon. We even asked for their names. Lahodo Atoch, to tell you. In other words, you know, you'll have a list of names and you do what you gotta do. We wanted to write down who's leading them, and all of that. Yudala. Ukanema pitgama hativona lemema. And this is what they told us. Anach nehima avdoi di'elod ishma. They gave them a religious response. They said, we are servants of the God of heaven, the Ara, and the God of earth. Uben and Hashem. Ubenayan beta dihava bene. Mikadma Danosh and Insagan, we're rebuilding the house which was built once upon a time. We're not doing something new, this is just a rebuilding. Umelech Israel Rav, there was a great king in Israel, referring to Shlomo Melech. Benoi Vashachle, he built it and he founded it and made it so beautiful. We're just trying to recreate it. That was their response. Yud Bet.
This, of course, doesn't mention the king in that pasuk, and that is very significant.
Correct. Yud Bet. Lahein mindi hargiza vosa lelo dishmain. And not only that, but we know that they angered the God of heaven. Yahavimu biyad Nebuchadnezzar melech Bavel, and they were given over to Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Bavel, Babylon, Kazdoi, the Kazdian. The Ubaita Danos Satren, he knocked down the house, he destroyed the temple. Vamor Haglila Bavel, they were sent to Babylon. So we know all this history. Baram, Bishnat Chada, they argued again. That in the first year, Lekoresh Malka di Bavel, this is again strange, We that's how the whole book started. That the first year of the reign of Cyrus, there was permission given to build the temple. So it seems that that decree became forgotten over the period of time. All right, it's not like today where you get, you know, the media and Google and you can look it up again and again. It was a decree that was made at a certain period of time, and seemingly it was, you know, it fell back into history and was not well known. So the Jews are trying to remind the enemy that there was a decree from Cyrus, the king of Babylon, Koresh Malchus, sometime he gave permission, Beit Elod and Olibne, to build the house of God. So they're not doing this without permission. That's their argument. Yudalat. Va'af Manaya, and there's another proof, because he allowed us to take those vessels, the Beit Elod from the temple, the Dahava, the cusp of gold and silver, the Nebuchadnezzar, and Pei Minhechel, the Mishlam, and Nebuchadnezzar take them out of the temple in Jerusalem, the Hevel Himulechala, the Bobbe, he put it into his temple in Babylon. Hanpeik himu Koresh Malka Koresh took them out. Min Hechla Dibava from the place in Babylon, from the temple there. Vihivul Sheshbatza Shemei gave them to the leader of the Jewish community there, who was called Sheshbatza. Some say that's Daniel, that's another name for Daniel, the Persian or the Aramaic name or whatever. Di Pechasham Samei, who was made the leader of their community, the governor. Va'amar Tedva. So interesting the way they're talking. Va'amar le Elom Manaya, and he said that these are the vessels. Sa Izal Achad Himul Behechal. These are the vessels which you have to go and take Behechalad Yerushalayim. In other words, he gave permission for us to take these vessels back to Jerusalem. Ubeit Elah Yidbenei Al Asrei, and to build the temple. And Adain Shashbat Sadech Atav. And this Shashbatza came, Yahav Ushai di Beit Elo di Yerushalayim, and he helped us to start building the walls, Minadayin Vadkan mit Bnei V'Loshlim, and it started, but it wasn't complete. So they're telling Darius the way it is, and this is being reported by the enemies of Israel to Darius. And of course they want Darius to get very angry and see it as an act of rebellion. And it's exactly what doesn't happen. Yud Zayin. V'kan hein al malka tav, so they say, then this is now the enemy is talking to Darius. They say, O king, if it's good by you, yit bakar bebeit ganaziah di malka tav. In other words, they don't believe this claim of Cyrus. They seem to be very naive, these guys. They don't believe that Cyrus made this decree. So they said, can you look in the Ginzaya, the Geniza, right? The place where we keep all these hidden documents. Di malka taman of the king. Dibava, that in Babylon, from Babylon, because remember, it's Persia, they conquered Babylon. So they must have taken all of the documents with them. Hey, niti, dimin koresh, malkut, simtem. Is there such a document of Cyrus that he gave permission? Lemimne beit Elod, dimushalayim, to allow, dech mushalayim, to allow to build this temple in Jerusalem. Ru'ut, malka, adonai, yishlach, alona. And we wait for the will of the king to be sent to us. In other words, you tell us what we are going to do. So interesting. One and two.
Why do the enemies wait now, 18 years, to go back and check the records?
Yeah, well, they want to stop the project, but I hope, I mean, I think, I haven't looked into the background here. My feeling is that there's probably some sort of midrashic material here that maybe they tried to destroy or made an attempt to get rid of the evidence. So they now are hoping that they can't find any record of the original decree to allow them to build the temple. And then, of course, if that's not there, they can turn around and say to the Jews in Jerusalem, you claim that Cyrus allowed it. Where's your proof? Where's your piece of paper? Where's your document? Where's your, you know, and a permit, right? And it doesn't exist. In which case, that's a problem. Sorry? No, Cyrus is dead. They're all gone. That's the point. So that now you can't ask. There's nobody around to say, you know, well, what do you remember? And these documents, that's why I mentioned last week, the whole thing with the shtarot is so serious. These documents have to be recorded here, and they are really, really important. This, again, is why you get so upset with what they're saying today. You know, as I mentioned last week, the mufti comes along and says, 3,000 years, we have, you know, they've been a mosque there. I mean, read the book of Ezra, for goodness sake. That's not, we're talking here less than 3,000 years, and we're not talking about mosques. You know, Islam started in 622. Of the common era. So what do you, you know, it just defies imagination. I don't even want to say it because it gets me upset. Too much blood pressure.
What they're doing, they obviously know the history. They're telling him, wink, wink,
And even to the point of suggestion.
Correct, correct.
Go and find the document.
And it's gone.
I think that's exactly it. Let's have a bit of other hand, you know, sort of diplomacy here, and we'll solve the problem. The Jews will go away, they won't be able to build their temple, and end the discussion. And again, what I said last week is, again, so important that the world doesn't understand that having a Beit HaMikdash is not only good for us, it's good for them. It's good for the world. It's like one of the great things that would happen in the Beit HaMikdash would be bracha for the whole world. Okay, I heard a drasha last week, a shir last week, which talks about the fact that the Even Shasir, the stone in the center of the Beit HaMikdash, which is now in the middle of the mosque, is the claim is that that's the stone from which the world was created. And every vein of produce, of types of produce and types of materials and minerals comes from the Even Shasir. And Shlomo HaMelech knew that even though they didn't grow certain things in Eretz Yisrael, he knew where the line was that would come from the Even Shasir going out to whatever country it was. Let's say bananas, they wouldn't necessarily have them in Eretz Yisrael. So what did Shlomo do? He worked out where this line was, the vein coming from the Even Shasir, and along that line he would plant banana groves, and they grew bananas. Just as one example. He had such a chokhmah, Shlomo, he could tell where everything came from that original source and would be able to develop it in Eretz Yisrael. Now, of course, we don't know this today. We have no clue. Although, again, we're talking now about oil in the north of Israel. Who knows? There has to be oil there. There's got to be oil in Israel. I mean, this is like ridiculous. The only country in the Middle East without oil just doesn't make sense. We'll continue. Look at chapter 6 and we'll get through this. It's so interesting. So what is Darius' response? But Dayan Daryovish Malkus sum to aim. So at this point, Darius gives an order. Ubakara Beit Sifrai. So they go and check in the library. Di Ganazaya Me'achatin, where they were storing the archives. Tama Babovel in Babylon. Vishtakach Bam Chos. And he founds Amtachto, isn't that the, we have that in a few weeks' time, there with the Amtacha, the bag, with Binyamin. Amtachas Binyamin, right, so it's the same word. So we have, he finds in some sort of pouch, Bebirto di Bemodai, from some sort of citadel, it says in Media, one of the countries that was under his control, Medinta, Megillachada, they find one copy of this original decree. Wow. V'chein ketib begavei dichrona, and there's a memorandum there. There's some sort of, I suppose you would say in the Hebrew, called it zichron devarim. There is a list of the points that were made. So they found it, right? The original decree. Gimel. Bishnat chada lekorish. And they read it out. And it's got to be recorded yet again so that we know that it exists. All of this is written down, and it's written down over and over again. Again, maybe not for them, but at least for us, that we should know that all of this happened and it's repeated. Bishnat Chada leKoresh Malka, the first year of Cyrus, Koresh Malka sum to aim. Koresh made an allowance. Beit Elob Yerushalayim Beito Yitbanei, to allow the temple to be built in Jerusalem. Atar in the place. Di Davchin Divchin, Dalad and Zion interchange in Aramaic and Hebrew, and it's Zevach. They can make their sacrifices. Ve'ushoi masovlin, and it's a place where they can start building the walls. Rumei amin shitin petayei amin shitin. In other words, and it tells you it's got to be 60 amot, 60 cubits, about 120 feet, 100 feet, let's say. 60 cubits high and 60 cubits width. That's the size of the building that was allowed by Koresh in the original decree that was now found. They found the copy of it. Dalet, Nidbachin, the Even Galah, and also there was a whole instruction on how to build it. They would build Even Galah Talata. They would have three rows of marble, the Nidbach, the Or, Chad, and one row of Or, which is in the Hebrew would be eight. One row of wood, right? The Nifkasam in Beit Malka Tichahim, and all of the Nifkasa means what they would spend. The money for the project was to be funded from the king. So in fact, they are helping us. Koresh was so determined that this should take place, and maybe he did understand a bit more what Beit HaMikdash means, that he funded the project, which again is fascinating. Okay, so this is now the United Nations, the 21st century, saying to the Jews in Israel, we're going to fund the rebuilding of the third temple. Wow, chalom, what a dream. It's not, I mean, is this ever going to happen? I don't know. I'd love to see that money being used for that and some of the other sort of wayward stuff that they do instead. But there you go, I'm getting too political. Hey, v'af monei beit elod yidavar kasma, and of course we read about this as well, the vessels of gold and silver, the Nebuchadnezzar and paint min hechel b'shalayim, and of course which Nebuchadnezzar originally took away from the temple, v'hevel above, and he took it to Babylon, yahativun, and they're being returned, v'yahach lehecholad b'shalayim, and took back to the, taken back to the temple in Jerusalem, le'atrei, to his place, v'taches b'beis elon, being put into the house of God. This is fine, this is what we want to happen. Kan tadnai pachat avar nahara. At this point, this guy Tadnai is obviously devastated, and Sheita, Boznai, Kavanosa, all of their Chevra, the Sheita, and all these other guys, Afar Sechoi, Dibavanahar, all these guys coming from across the river, Rechikin Havum in Tama. They're being told by Darius, you stay away, Rachok, you keep away from the whole project. Let the Jews build the temple, leave them alone. This is telling the Wakuf to go back to wherever they come from and let everybody be up there as they want to be and leave it alone. Again, one can dream. At the moment, it doesn't seem to be so possible. Zayin, Shavuku la vida beit elon, leave them to build the temple, deich of this temple. Pachad Yudoi, the Savi Yudoi, allow the governor and the elders of the Jews, beit elon, to build the house of God. Deich Yivnon alatrei, to build it on its place. Umini, sim to aim. I am giving permission. It's me, says Darius. And you know, again, when we hear this, it's unbelievable. All right, Ezrimi Hashem Aser Shemayim. And sometimes God provides the savior from who knows where, and we're waiting for that to happen. Someone from the Arab world maybe will come along. Who knows? And surprise the whole world. I mean, the way things are going, who knows what's going to happen tomorrow? We just don't know. Uminis sim to aim lamadi ta'avun ta'avdun, and I'm giving permission to whatever they need to do. Im savei Yudoi, to the elders of the Jews, elect these elders, the Mivnei Beit Elon, to build their temple, dech this temple, u'minechsei Malkan, from the money of the king, di midat avar nahara, from the other side of the river, no, from us, osparna, immediately it says that the expenses will be given quickly, nafka, so they will be spent, to heve mityava l'guvrai elein, they should be given, elect to these men, not to stop the project. In other words, I'm sending a check immediately. My donation is in the mail. And whatever they require, the Bnei Torin, this is now the list of animals, the turtle doves and the dichrin, I've got to read the English here, the young bulls, the imrin, and the rams, the lalovon, the lelosh, which they need to offer up to the God of Heaven. Chintin is the same word as chitin. The wheat, we know that we need this for korbanot, for menachot, right, for meal offerings. Malach, salt, chamar, mashach, then wine and the oil. All of these things that they needed. Kamei amar, karnai, Yerushalayim, and as is the statement of the priest. In other words, whatever the priests say that they need, this is what we're going to send. Lehevei mityahev lahom yom biyom, dilo shalu, without delay, they should get it every single day. Wow. Just put this into the situation today. It's a bit of chizuk. It just, you know, one day, please God, this will just happen. When they say Yeshua Sashen Keherified, it can happen just like that. And we're just waiting for this to happen, yes.
You talk about the return of the vessels. Does that include the Holy Ark?
And that's, no, the Ark was not around in the second temple. There's a Mishnah in, I showed it to Shmuel last week, a Mishnah in Sota. I'm pretty sure it's in the end of Sota where it talks about all the things that were in the second temple and things that were not there. And the ark was already hidden at the time of the first temple. I've forgotten now what the story is about it. But it was hidden the way Shlomo built caverns underneath, store places underneath the first temple. Sorry? Yoshio hid it. And it was already at that time, 100 years or so before the Churban, 140 years I think it is, right? It was hidden away. And it hasn't been found since. That's the Jewish tradition. All right. There's a lot of other traditions about where the Ark is. Mr. Spielberg is in Washington D.C. But of course, it has to be for Steven Spielberg to be in Washington D.C. Of course. But you know, as far as we're concerned, not quite I don't believe it is there. At least I pray that it's not there. Because what are we going to do with the thing when we find it? Mitzvah Hashem, when it comes out, it'll come out. We hope one day, very soon. And we've got to keep, we've got to cover it up. It's a dangerous thing. Sorry? They all got killed. Oh yeah, yeah. We spoke a lot about that. There's a whole chapter in Tanakh. Oh, it's scary. All right, Yud. We're just going to finish the chapter. Please bear with me. We got a minion. We're good.
Yes.
Excellent. So we'll get through the chapter. Oh, this is all the korbanot. Right, nechach, they should be pleasant sacrifices, Elod Shmaya, to the God of heaven, and they will pray for the life of the king. Right, in other words, he understands that when they daven in the Beit HaMikdash, the Jews are praying, not just for themselves, but for the king, meaning Darius and anybody else around. And this is something which is an interesting tradition. You know, we say a prayer for the American government. In England, they say this prayer for the Queen. Around the world, because I think this is maybe, you know, one of the maybe the Ramazan to actually do this. It's really important to pray for the welfare of the King or the Queen. My favorite sefer that I have at home is a copy of I think it's the commentary of the Netziv of Elojin. It was printed in 1880. And then reprinted by the Vadi Yeshivot in Israel in 1980, and they still have a prayer for Tsar Nicholas II, okay, or whatever his name was. They didn't cut out the tefillah, and it didn't help. It's in vain. The guy, you know, we know what happened to the royal family over there.
This is the standard rhetoric. The Israel rhetoric means they are interested in Israel, and they are not interested in this or that government, our government.
And
it's just precisely to the contrary.
To the contrary, we have to show how and it really is important. I always wonder why there was an objection that certain shuls have the American flag and the Israeli flag. And Orthodox shuls, I understand that there might be a religious objection for whatever reason, but to make a statement to the world that you know we're part of America, we should have both, and both are very much part of our connection, both to the country and obviously to Israel. So, you know, I think these are important things, and we see the origins of this, which again is interesting. Yudala, just going to finish the chapter. Lemon. And he says, an order is coming from me, Darius, that anyone who disobeys, listen to what's going to happen. Anyone who disobeys this order, yit nasach or min beta, there's going to be taken a big beam out of his house, a wood. Uzakif yit meche aloy, and he'll be stand up straight like the story of Haman. Ubeite, in other words, they're going to be hanged on the tree. Ubeite nevalo yitaven al dana. It's interesting, destroying their houses. If they do not cooperate, the people who are against the building project, then I give you permission to destroy their houses, which again today is still a matter of controversy. Beyond my understanding, however the people allowed these attacks to go on, knowing that their houses are going to be destroyed. The parents, where are these men and women? That they don't seem to have any control whatsoever, and their houses are destroyed, and they come crying to the BBC. It's just beyond belief. You'd bet. And the God who is dwelling there caused his name to dwell there. Yemagar kol malach va'am di shelach yadei. He will destroy anyone. Yemagar is the word that we have. Shaber smager. We say in the davening, right? He will destroy any king. Ve'im di shelach yadei. Anyone who stretches out his hand. Lahashnaya lachabola beit elah. They who comes to destroy this house of God. Dibu shalem in Jerusalem. Anar dayavesh summit ta'em. I am giving permission, Darius, a Saparna Yitaveh, this should be done immediately. End of edict, end of discussion. Wow. And this was not the answer that they were expecting. And look at the next passage. Adain Tadnai Pachat Avar Nahara, Shasab Boznai Kavanosan, Gekabel Dishalach Dayovish Malka Kenema Asparma Avadan. They had to do it. It reminds me of the Megillah, you know, they had to run. Right, as soon as Achashverosh changes the rules, and they're always running, Vayoritz, right, at that point. And here again, Asparna is Aramaic for quickly. Everything is being done quickly because the king has decreed. Yudalad, look what the Jews do when they get this news. They are overwhelmed. And it's so uplifting, Yudalad. V'savei Yudoi b'nayin u'matzlichin, and then now the Jews are successful with the building. B'navuat chagi Chagai Nevi, based originally on the prophecy. So again, all right, Darius's permission, but they are looking back to also the prophecy of the Nevi'im, who really started this sense of religious elevation, which they are looking up to. So they go back to the prophecy of Chagai Nevi, or Zechariah by Ido, Ubano, they built with Shachlilu, and they improved Minta'im, Elah, Yisrael, by the command of the God of Israel. At the end of the day, it's Darius, but it's really Hashem. Minta'im Koresh, and from the obviously permission of Cyrus, but Daryovesh, Artaxerxes, Melech Paras, and Artaxerxes. I explained last week that it's possible that he was like a prime minister, not necessarily the king, but a parallel civil servant who was in charge for very long. He's kind of lived through all the kings. He was somebody who dealt with matters of state. That was the suggestion of Rav Rabinovich, the Dat Sofrim. And because otherwise, there's a whole discussion in the Gemara who he was. Some say he was Cyrus, some say he was Darius. It gets very complicated, but if you say he's like a third person who is parallel to these other people, then I think it fits in very nicely. Now listen to this. Sorry?
Isn't it like Pharaoh?
It does, but there's one that he comes up again and again and again. So they say that Malka, he's a king, but the suggestion is that he's like parallel. Like I said, like in Israel, you have the Nasi and Rosh HaMemshalah. So the Nasi is there, and the Nasi changes and becomes newer and newer and newer. This week Navon passed away, the Nasi from the 80s. He passed away this week, Niftar. A very nice man. I met him once on Shabbat. I was walking around Yerushalayim and bumped into him with his minder. He had a shomer. And very friendly, you know, Shabbat Shalom, we said hello and talked to him for a few minutes. Very interesting, you know, interesting who we were. Very humble person, very nice person. So he passed away this week. They had a special levaya for him, I think today or yesterday, I think it was. So again, I think this is what the suggestion was, that this Artaxerxes is really a parallel officer, as it were, who is in charge of matters of state. Tedva, we're almost out of the Aramaic. V'sheitzi Beit Adonai, they started building. They completed. Sheitzi means to complete. They built the house Ad Yom Talat Eliyahu Hadar, the third of Adar. That's when it ended the project. Dihi Shnat Shet the Malchut Daryovish Malka, the sixth year of Darius. Started in the second year. It was a 4-year building project. So that's pretty substantial. 4 years. And here comes a fabulous psukim Ted Zayin. Worth coming just to hear this. Vavadu b'nei Yisrael karnaya v'levaya. Now the b'nei Yisrael get together, and it's b'nei Yisrael, right? They are becoming the nation again. When does Am Yisrael? How does Am Yisrael show that it becomes b'nei Yisrael over again? By doing a specific mitzvah we spoke about a few weeks ago, Korban Pesach. We're coming up to, obviously this is Adar leading into Nisan. Korban Pesach representing the moment when Am Yisrael became Am Yisrael, they became Bnei Yisrael. Before they came out of Egypt, it was 70 souls went down to Mitzrayim, the family of Yaakov. That's what it was. When they came out, it became the nation of Israel, Bnei Yisrael. And this is now the same thing again in the time of Ezra, the time of the second bayit. And this again is the crescendo of the end of the chapter. Pasuk Tet Zayin, Vavidu Bnei Yisrael, Vavadu Bnei Yisrael, Karnaya, Levaya, Shah, Bnei Galuta, all the people from the Galut did it together, the Kohanim, the Levim, Chanukat Beit Elah Adonai B'chedva, they did the dedication of the house of God in great joy. So number one, there was a big party. Okay, was Purim established at this point? It's not mentioned in Sefer Ezra. So again, that's for the scholars to work out when Purim sort of, was it around. But it's a whole discussion by itself, but not for now. Yud Zayin, V'krivu Chanukat Beit Elah Adonai. So what did they offer up for this celebration? Torin Me'odichrin, 200 ram. Torin Me'a, 100 bulls and Dichrin Matayim, 200 rams. Amorin Abamiyah, 400 lambs. In other words, it's going up in number, right? Utzafire Izin Lechataya. It says 12 he goats. Al Kol Yisrael Treyasa. It was for representing the 12 tribes. Leminyan Shivtei Yisrael. Vehekimu Kohanaya Beplug. Gaton, still impossible words. They obviously the Kohanim now began their groups. Pluga in modern Hebrew is like a group in the army. It's a unit. And here we've got the plugot of the Kohanim, you've got the groups of the Kohanim, the watches, right? We know they had their different groupings. The Levaya, the Machlokotod, and the groupings of the Levim, to begin the work in the temple again, kikatav sefer Moshe, as in the book of Moshe, as in the Torah. And finally, and of course, this becomes compare this to? If you know Beethoven's Ninth, that crescendo at the end when the choir kicks in and everybody gets, you know, it's just overwhelming. If you hear that, ever go to a concert to hear it, you know, when that final sort of overwhelming noise comes through, the sound of the choir, this is now breaking back into Hebrew with this incredible event happening as the crescendo of the whole celebration, Yutet. Vayasu b'nei ha-golah ha-pasach. They made the Paschal Lamb. Barbasa, on the 14th, Lachodesh Arishon of Adar, of Nisan, and they did it on the right date. There's a whole discussion, I'm not going to go through it now, the Dart Mikra says that they're pointing out the dates and they're pointing out the event because Chizkiyahu, when he did it, King Hezekiah, he compromised. He actually, there's what the Gemara says, that he actually declared a leap year in Nisan, which you're not supposed to do. You're supposed to declare before Nisan. And he did things which the rabbis were not happy about. And in fact, the whole Pesach that he did was not done absolutely according to the Lechatchila, according to the first best situation. And here they did. Here they did everything Kedasu Kedin. The first month, Chav, Ki Yitara Kohanim Aleviim Ke'echad Kulam Torim, that everyone is Tor. And they offered up their Paschal lambs. Stressing again, it's the children of Israel. They become the nation has become the nation again. Hashavim me'agolah, they come back from the gola. I mean, please God, we'll see this again. Third base of Mikdash. The chola nivdal mitumat goya haaretz. They are separate from the uncleanliness, the tumah of the non-Jewish world around them. Aleim lidrosh l'Hashem l'kei Yisrael, to seek the God of Israel. And they made the celebration of the matzah shivat yomim b'simcha, 7 days, with great joy. God had made them joyous. They saved Lev Melech Ashur Alev, and the king of Ashur, which is a reference to Darius, because he was in control of Assyria, one of the main elements that destroyed the first temple. One of the original enemies of Israel, that in fact they sent the 10 tribes away. So I suppose there's a kind of irony here. It's the very king of Assyria who allows the second temple to be built and to celebrate the Paschal Lamb. L'chazek yidem b'melechet beit Elohim alei Yisrael, to strengthen their hand with the work of towards the God of Israel. This is fabulous, absolutely fabulous. And of course, what comes next, Mitzvah Hashem, next week, Achad Dvarim Ha'Ela, we're going to be introduced to Ezra. Right, finally, we've only got like 3 or 4 chapters left of the book, and Ezra finally makes a kind of an appearance, but he's a wow. Okay, he faces a lot of other religious challenges. The temple is around. He's got to deal with the whole issue of intermarriage. We'll wait and see. We'll talk a bit about his character. We'll talk a bit about what his solutions were. It's going to blow your mind if you don't know this already. And Mirtz Hashem to be continued next week. It's overwhelming. It really is. And Mirtz Hashem, b'mehera b'yomeinu. Amen. Have a good week, everyone. Thank you.